What do you think about the issue of looking at BEV in the adjuvant setting? There's a big ECOG trial out there right now looking at that. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that big adjuvant trial is an intergroup effort. You know, most of the cooperative groups have thrown their hat into the ring. They're taking patients with selected 1B and early stage completely resected disease, stage 2 and early 3, and randomizing these patients to chemotherapy, which is a form of dealer's choice chemotherapy. There are several platinum doublets that are thrown in there with or without bevacizumab. And it's now really asking the question of whether angiogenesis inhibition in the adjuvant setting will improve outcomes. And it's accruing nicely nationally, but, you know, it will take a while for us to see those results. And I think we all need to support that trial. So to all the listeners who do have that trial or have access to that trial, I encourage you to put all your patients with completely resected disease onto that study. Now, as a tangent to that question, at ASCO this year, we heard the updated results of the International Adjuvant Lung Trial, or the YALT trial, which was fascinating to me because, as you all recall, the YALT trial was presented with great fanfare at ASCO in the plenary session because it was the first large adjuvant trial in non-small cell lung cancer showing a survival benefit. It was a small benefit, but positive nevertheless. And when it was presented, the hazard ratio for overall survival in the YALT when originally presented was 0.86, and the p-value there was around 0.03. What was interesting at ASCO this year was that those results were updated with a long-term follow-up. And in the new update, that survival advantage had now disappeared. So the hazard ratio was now 0.91. The p-value, no longer statistically significant, p was 0.10. So this is kind of an interesting observation because typically you'd like to see survival benefit from adjuvant therapy persist throughout the course of the follow-up period, but in this case, the survival curves came together. And the YALT investigators looked at certain subsets just to interrogate this further. They found that the distant metastasis rate was still better in patients receiving adjuvant chemotherapy. It was statistically significant. The curves were different. 0.02 was the p-value. So it wasn't the distant metastasis rate that was different. In fact, chemotherapy prevented the recurrence in distant metastatic sites. When they looked at second malignancies, there was no difference. So chemotherapy did not increase the rate of second malignancies past 5 years of follow-up. What they found to be mostly contributing to this reversal of fortunes was the increase in the non-lung cancer mortality in patients who had received adjuvant chemotherapy. The hazard ratio there was 1.34. The p-value was 0.06, but you know, I think that's what explained why the overall survival curves came together. There were more patients dying of non-lung cancer causes who had received adjuvant chemotherapy, as opposed to those who were observed.
Do you think that was a real finding or just maybe statistical play and just like, you know, that comorbidities and other causes of death just sort of dampened it out in general?
You're probably right, Neil. It could be a statistical play or a statistical chance. But I wish to point out that when you look at survivorship studies in patients who had received platinum etoposide, for example, which is the principal chemotherapy in the YALT trial, and those survivorship studies were mostly done in testicular cancer patients, where cisplatin etoposide is standard of care. So in survivorship studies, there is a high rate of cardiovascular disease, as well as infections and other comorbidities in patients who had received this platinum-based chemotherapeutic regimen. So I don't think this is unique to just lung cancer. It's been seen in long-term follow-up studies in testicular cancer. So there's something there. Chemotherapy does something that increases the risk of late cardiovascular events. And I don't know what that is, but it does so in testicular cancer. And that's probably what's also happening in these patients who are already predisposed to cardiovascular disease. They're smokers, they have COPD, and they have other factors that will make them at risk for non-lung cancer mortality. So that was an interesting sidelight. And what I think people should take away from that is not stop giving adjuvant chemotherapy. I think what it showed us was that the efficacy of adjuvant chemotherapy, at least in the YALT experience, appears to be confined to the first 5 years after surgery. And there's some diminished benefit after 5 years because of unexplained treatment-related mortality. And what this behooves us to do is continue following up the other adjuvant lung cancer studies and not, you know, fall asleep at the wheel. We need to wait for the long-term results of all the other adjuvant studies that have ever been done and to see if this is a universal finding. Because if it isn't, then maybe this is just another, like you said, a statistical fluke and may not actually apply to the rest of the other trials.